It's the Brady and the Bunch podcast, presented by 101.3 The Game.
Welcome back. It is the Brady and the Bunch podcast. Today is Tuesday, June 25th. It is episode number 34. And I'm just so excited to keep expanding on the podcast and bring in great, great guests here in studio. You've seen that over the last couple of episodes that we've really kind of just deviated from our initial concept, which was going with just our listeners. And those guys were great. Every single one of them we had was awesome. We'll continue to bring on our listeners. But now we're also bringing in people in the sports world, even outside of the sports world, in some cases, that have a kind of tie to our area. So very excited to welcome in studio today, Essex High School product, Brendan Gleason, Notre Dame lacrosse star. Yep. And, you know, the resume is long, so I won't go through everything, but at Notre Dame, you helped the Fighting Irish get to the NCAA tournament. Yep. You helped them get to the ACC title game this year. You were second on the team in points this year. You've been an honorable mention All-American. You've been All-ACC. So a pretty extensive career for you in South Bend.
Yeah, it was a pretty great experience and an awesome 4 years. It's kind of crazy that it's over now, but definitely wouldn't trade it for the world. It was awesome.
Being a high-level Division I athlete, I can't imagine you get a chance to come back home very often. So what is it like for you to have a little bit of downtime after graduation, after your career is over, just to be back in the area?
Yeah, it's nice to get home and you know, see some of my buddies from high school and just hang out, watch a little Essex High School lacrosse, you know, get back to the field and see how they're doing. And then just, you know, hanging out with my family, my sisters, just really relaxing, you know, haven't had a whole lot of time to like just chill out and really not have much to do for the last 4 years. So it's nice to get a little bit of that time now.
When you come back, are you like big man on campus? It's like the prodigal son returns. Everyone's like, hey, that's that Gleason kid. He played for Notre Dame. Like, is it like that for you? What's it like being home?
I don't know. Not so much. You know, I just there's a bunch of other guys that kind of get the opportunity to play in college, and I guess it just kind of worked out for me maybe a little bit better than some of the other guys. So I don't like to, you know, think about it as like the big man on campus, but you kind of hear like every once in a while I hear like, you know, someone or like behind my back say like, oh, hey, that's Brendan Gleason, like whatever, like some kids at the lacrosse game or whatever. So I guess it's kind of cool to see how that's kind of evolved and how that's kind of shaked out.
If you go back to an Essex High School game, you signing any autographs? Are kids coming up to you with lacrosse
no,
balls?
No autographs. You know, I try and kind of stand down at the end with you know, my buddies who are at the game from guys who I played with. And so just kind of mind my own business, standing down at the end, just trying to take in some lacrosse.
Outside of just family and friends, that's not acceptable answer here. So outside of seeing family and friends, what's the thing you like to do most when you come back to town? Is it a place you want to go eat, a place you want to, you want to go hiking? Like, what's the thing you like to do most?
You know, for me, my family's got a lake house up in Grand Isle.
Okay.
So it's in the summer, we usually move up there and just get to go out on the boat, hang out on the water. So it's definitely nice just like being up there, you know, like just it's kind of like you're just on your own, just like hanging out in the backyard, going swimming, going out on the boat, hanging out with our dogs. So it's just nice to like relax and just be outside and enjoy some good weather.
Now you played football, lacrosse, and hockey at Essex High School, won a couple of state championships on the hockey team. How did you land on lacrosse?
So yeah, for me, I guess lacrosse has kind of always been my first love. My dad played in college and then coached for a while. He actually coached at St. Mike's when my parents first moved up here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's always been a huge lacrosse guy. He kind of started the whole youth program in Essex. He kind of like helped out with the whole Northern Vermont League and helped kind of push things along. And so, you know, I had a lacrosse stick in my hand pretty much from the time I could walk. And so, you know, growing up, it was great playing other sports. But for me, lacrosse was kind of always number one. And I always knew that like my dream was to play college lacrosse and you know, play at Notre Dame was the best case scenario.
Now, I think it's just called maturity as you get older, but I will be honest with you, and I've told this to other people, but I'm 29 now, so up until I was about 21, I hated lacrosse. Hated it. I hated the people who played it. I hated the sport of it because I was a baseball player.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
There was always this rivalry, for me at least, between baseball and lacrosse, and it was more fans wanted to go to lacrosse, and lacrosse players were more popular in high school, so it always really rubbed me the wrong way. I just hated lacrosse. Did lacrosse players hate baseball players?
No, I don't think so. You know, even at Notre Dame, we were very friendly with a lot of the other sports teams and the baseball guys. Like, you know, we had some buddies on the baseball team. So I don't think there was a really hate relationship. I can definitely see how that may be the case because I think, you know, baseball.
But lacrosse players are a lot cooler than baseball players. I mean, that is true.
I think, I mean, I don't know. This is maybe personal opinion, but it kind of seems like baseball is losing steam with the whole, like, popularity thing. And lacrosse is definitely kind of trending upwards, you know, just with like the speed of the game and everything. I think just like as a kid, you're gonna have more fun if you're going to a lacrosse game and seeing the ball whipping around than like going to a baseball game and seeing, like, you know, just pitch after pitch and just like kind of the slow pace of the game.
You know what it was for me? It was what I just said: more popular, more fans at games, et cetera, more attention on the lacrosse team. That was part of it. The other part of it was for me was baseball is so stoic. Baseball is so just tradition. Yep. And I don't want to say boring, but like I was very much, and I've changed my tune on this in baseball too over the last couple of years, but I was very much for me like, play the game the right way. Play the game the way it was supposed to be played. Play the game the way it was in 1920. Just like, that's how I was as a player. It was, don't say anything, put your head down, and just do your job. Whereas lacrosse was like the complete opposite of that. It was more fun. It was more open. It was long hair, creativity. Yeah. It was like so different than baseball that I didn't get it for a long time.
Yeah, that makes sense. It definitely is just like very fluid. Just like, you know, you see so many guys with such like great creativity in the game and just like doing stuff that you could almost like never imagine, like, you know, backhand shots behind the back, stuff like that. So I don't know. It's definitely a much different game, but it's pretty cool.
As someone who has played the sport forever, I have to ask, is there something wrong with lacrosse goalies?
Because
I picture that. Look, hockey goalie, tough. Catcher, tough. Offensive lineman, tough. But like lacrosse goalie, that seems, you have to be the dumbest person in the world.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
go
if
play
you're
lacrosse goalie.
If you're like willingly standing in net with, you know, a rubber ball coming at you 100 miles an hour time and time again, like there's got to be something going on there.
I mean, I could just picture you.
It's crazy. Goalies are crazy. They're just like. And you notice it on like every team basically that I've been on is like the goalies are just a little bit of a different breed. Not saying that's a bad thing. He's just like a little quirky, a little goofy. So I mean, it's fun. It's all fun. But
when you guys practice, this is a dumb, probably, but serious question for me. Is the goalie in the practices with you getting pelted all practice long? Because like I picture like you should have like a little like a street hockey goalie where it's just a cutout and there's like five or six slots in there. And the goal, because if I were a lacrosse goalie, I'd be like, no, I'll do the game. I'm not doing this in practice.
No, they're coming every day at practice. Like we had four goalies on our team. And so like typically we'd have like our top two, like our starting goalie and our backup would play with the first team defense who would normally play against like our scout team offense. And then we'd have like our third and fourth string goalies just getting peppered by shots from like,
wow,
you know, our first two lines of middies and our starting attacks.
what's your fastest shot? I mean, isn't
I have not like clocked a shot probably since like sixth or seventh grade.
Oh,
so
really?
I don't even know. Yeah, I mean, that was definitely like we would do it back like when we would go to tournaments and in the summers with our club teams and just like, you know, they'd have like shot speed stations that you could go and just shoot as hard as you could, and they'd clock you, or like someone, you know, one of the coaches would like bring a radar gun to practice. But I actually like haven't clocked my shot.
I guess it just doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah,
like, it's just
shoot as fast as you can, get it past the goalie, and it counts for a goal.
You know, I recently had on a podcast Amanda Pelkey, who's a Montpelier, a Montpelier native, won Olympic gold at the Olympics last year with USA women's hockey, and I asked her, I was like, kind of, what was it like for you growing up? And she talked about playing hockey in Central Vermont and growing up. So I'll ask you the same thing. What was it like playing lacrosse for you growing up when you were younger?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely like, I mean, I guess if you look at like Vermont lacrosse versus some.
I mean, were you hands down better than everybody that you played? Like, were you clearly above everybody else?
I mean, I don't know about that. There was definitely like a handful of guys kind of like with around my age group that were always, you know, year in and year out, like, we were the same guys playing against each other. You play against the same guys basically from like, you know, fifth, sixth grade up through senior year of high school. And so like, you know, the guys that are like the studs on each team. And so, you know, every team had a couple of guys, maybe one or two. If you were lucky, you had three or four.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, after that, there was definitely a little bit of a talent drop, just like purely out of the fact that lacrosse just wasn't really that big in Vermont. And like, it was definitely like a growing sport. And so, you know, a lot of these kids are just guys that are hockey players, football players, soccer players, whatever. And they're like, all right, we were playing baseball growing up, but like, I don't want to play baseball anymore. Like, I want to try lacrosse. So,
yeah.
you know, these guys that are just good athletes. You know, like one of my buddies, Cody Green, was like a very good, you know, football player, baseball player, like growing up, basketball player. And then just like sophomore year of high school, he decides, okay, like, I guess I'll try playing lacrosse. Like I kept talking to him, trying to convince him to play. And finally he decided to play and come out for the team. And so like a lot of it is that, like, even in high school, there's a lot of guys that are just, you know, good athletes picking up a lacrosse stick and playing. So
is hockey a sport that the skill set is really transferable to lacrosse?
Yeah,
because
I see a lot of
players that do both.
Definitely. You know, and like you see like a lot of the best lacrosse players, like Matt Kavanaugh, who was, you know, one of the best players to like ever play at Notre Dame. Was a hockey guy, and you can like totally see it in his game, like just how he plays, you know, scooping up ground balls, like getting scrappy with guys, just like the toughness and you know, just like the ability to get the ball off the ground, I think translates really well over from the hockey game.
I was going to wonder is it more just the idea of having a stick in your hand, or is it, what about like passing, just being able to see the pass?
Yeah,
in front
definitely
of you.
Like vision is very similar between hockey and lacrosse, but I think like I said, one of the biggest things is just like ground ball games. Like, you know, in hockey, you're playing, you know, down in the corners, like with the puck, and you're going, you know, two on two with guys. You got a couple guys there, like fighting for the puck. And that's like very, very similar to a ground ball scrum in lacrosse. So I think just like that toughness and that ability to find the puck or find the ball and just, you know, get possession of it and get it out of there is very similar between the two.
You know, I've been honest and upfront. I told you I did not used to like lacrosse, and I told you I've changed my tune. So I've atoned for all these things that I'm telling you now that I've said in the past. So one of my other knocks on lacrosse when I was growing up was, and you kind of just proved my point. So now I want to ask if this is really true or not. Is lacrosse a sport that you can just pick up later in life by virtue of being athletic? Because I'll ask you this. I felt like I could just step onto a lacrosse field tomorrow and be somewhat adequate by virtue of being athletic. Could you step onto a baseball field tomorrow and be good? I feel like baseball's
much different game, though. You see, like, I mean, I get what you're saying, and I kind of agree with you. Like, if you're a good athlete and you've got pretty good hand eye, and like especially if you're a hockey guy, like you can pick up a lacrosse stick, and you're not going to be the best player on the field the first time you step on the field. But I think, like, you know, if you're like a very good athlete and you've got good hands, you can kind of hold your own, and then, you know, within a few years, maybe you can become a very good lacrosse player. But baseball is like going the other way. I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm stepping into the batter's box and facing like, you know, a 90-mile-an-hour pitch. Like, I don't even think I'm sniffing that.
Now, I'm surprised. I'm happy that we're able to do this in studio. Again, we're taping this on June 3rd. We're a couple weeks out from when it's going to air. So I have to. Why are you even here? Because you got drafted in the the NLL, the National Lacrosse League.
MLL.
Oh, MLL. Major League Lacrosse.
Well, and then also the PLL, which is the new Premier Lacrosse
League. Okay. So there's many lacrosse leagues. We'll kind of get into that. So you've been drafted into a couple of them. Why are you not off playing right now? Why are you in studio with us?
Yeah. So, you know, lacrosse is kind of interesting at the professional level, where, you know, like there's not enough real money and not enough, you know, I guess popularity yet in the sport where like guys can be full-time professional lacrosse players. And so, you know, there's like a handful of guys, you know, there's some guys that have done it with through like sponsorships and just kind of like making their own brand through the game. But for, you know, just
like, that would be your elite, Lyle Thompson, the
top guys. So just like, you know, for like, you know, the average lacrosse player playing professionally, you've got to have a second job. So, I got drafted and I decided to sign with the Redwoods of the Premier Lacrosse League. So we actually had our first weekend down in Foxborough this past weekend. But basically you just travel to wherever the game is that weekend on Friday or whatever.
So is there no practice during the week?
So we practice the day before the game.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, you know, with all these guys at this high level of lacrosse, it's not like you gotta, you know, do stick work at practice. Everyone's doing their stick work on their own, or everyone's, you know, been playing lacrosse for long enough where their stick work's at a pretty high level. It's just more kind of getting to know each other, getting to know each other's playing style, you know, going over different schemes of what we're doing that week against whoever we're playing. So basically we'll practice for like, you know, an hour and a half the night before the game, play the game the next day, and then you fly back to home or wherever you're working or really whatever it is.
That's crazy. So what about, you know, the things that athletes go through? Now, hopefully not for you, but what if someone's injured? What if someone's rehabbing? What if someone needs, you know, hey, I get ice, heat, stim to be able to play for the next week? I mean, how are you doing that
stuff? So it's like, I guess it's a little bit of a, of more of a challenge.
Mama Gleason's ice pack.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we have like a head doctor and a head trainer for the league that we're working with, and they've got a pretty good network of physical therapists and doctors that they know, I think, like around the country.
Yeah.
So if you really need, you know, if you're like do something serious and either need surgery or need to see a physical therapist and get some rehab, I think they have contacts that they'll get you in touch with and wherever you happen to be. So it's kind of like a lot more, I guess, on your own,
yeah.
You know, taking initiative, and, you know, you're not going to be pampered every day like you may be playing in the NBA or the NFL or whatever. But, you know, for me, it was more just like another chance to keep playing lacrosse. Like, you know, I figured, why not give it a shot and see if I can keep playing as long as I can.
So you graduate from Notre Dame. You've got another job coming that's set to start here a month and a half or so from when we're starting this. So what's that second job going to be for you? Is it going to be local?
No. So I'm going to be working down in New York City, working for Deutsche Bank, doing wealth management.
Okay.
Yeah. So that starts up middle of July, like July 15th. I actually have a month of training over in London to start.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you won't be playing any lacrosse for a month.
So it kind of worked out well for that month. Like, one of the weeks is the All-Star game, and then like another week or two is like just like a bye week that they happen to have during the summer. So like I'm only going to miss, I think, like a game or two. So yeah, I mean, it definitely worked out well. But yeah, for that month, I'll be over in London just, you know, doing training, basically going back to school for work and learning the ropes and everything. And then I'll be back.
You could do worse training sessions than a month in London.
Yeah, exactly.
But, do you see yourself wanting to play lacrosse, you know, for a decade plus at the professional level? Because it seems like, as fun as it is, as good as you are, it's a hard double life to live. I mean,
no,
to be
it
able
definitely
to commit
is.
To it.
It definitely is. And there's guys that do it, you know, like some of my buddies that I've played with at Notre Dame and now that I'm playing with on the Redwoods, they work, you know, their desk job 5 days a week and then travel. Wow. And you know, even like I was rooming with John Sexton, who was an LSM for us last year, or I guess 2 years ago, and he's on the Redwoods now. And like he was on his computer doing work Friday night before the game. So like, you know, they just kind of make it work. And for me, you know, I love playing lacrosse, but like I'm not gonna you know, quit my job to go play lacrosse full time. I just, it's more like, you know, if I can stay in shape and I can, you know, stay at the level I need to play lacrosse, then, you know, I'll play for as long as I feel like, you know, I'm still at that level, and as long as I feel like it's kind of working out with my job. You know, if it just becomes too much and I feel like I can't, you know, it's just like a lot to travel every weekend in the summer and work 5 days a week, then and if I'm just like not having fun with it anymore, then at that point I'll say, all right, I'm done. But
I'll have to admit to you, I was waiting for this summer the headline to come out. Local boy comes home. Brendan Gleason added to UVM staff. Like, did you ever have an idea of coaching? Is that something that's ever appealed to you?
I don't know. I've thought about it. I'm sure I'll get back into coaching, you know, at some point in my life, whether it be, you know, at a youth level, at a high school level, or at a college level. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But I obviously have loved the game of lacrosse for a while, and it's been a huge part of my life. So I'm not going to – I don't – necessarily want to let that kind of totally fade away. So even, you know, once I'm done playing, I think I may still try and coach a little bit, or you know, after I work for a little bit, you know, 5-10 years, maybe get back
sounds
into
like
coaching.
Deutsche Bank out of London sounds like, and in New York City sounds like a pretty lucrative career. So I'm not going to ask for facts and figures, but it sounds like you're going to be doing pretty well. So
yeah, no, I'm excited to start with them as well. It's a great opportunity.
So what did you major in?
I was a science business major.
Science business
major, which is a little
interesting. Working for a bank?
Yeah, working in finance. So basically, I'll give you...
So your degree is useless? Is that what you're telling?
More or less, okay. But not so much, I guess. So I started, I thought maybe I wanted to be a doctor, started as a pre-med major. You know, everyone comes into college with big aspirations and big goals. And then very quickly after a year realized, like, I don't know if I can go to school for, you know, another 5-6 years after I'm done undergrad. And like, you know, I just wasn't sure if it was for me. And like, to do all that and put in all that effort and not even know if it's what you want to do, kind of didn't feel like it was worth it to me. But I was still like interested in science and you know, enjoyed taking the science classes. So I found this science business major, which basically was like you take your standard science classes, so your chemistry, biology, physics, you know, whatever it is, and then you take like a certain number of science electives, which, you know, they were just like different cool classes, like you know, environmental chemistry or like, you know, animal behavior, stuff like that, that you just learn, you know, more specifics, but just like you can choose whatever classes you wanted to. And then on the business side of it, you basically took your five like standard business classes. So econ, accounting, management, marketing, finance, and then you took one business elective. So like you basically got, for me, it felt like the best of both worlds because like I could still take the science classes that I enjoyed and then kind of got that intro to business, almost like doing like a business minor. And then just kind of enjoyed those business classes. And you know, the more I took kind of both classes, both science and business, I felt like I was, you know, enjoying the business classes more and just felt like it was more applicable to my skill set and kind of what I wanted to do in the future. So I kind of ended up deciding to go the finance route and working at a bank.
I played college baseball. I missed a lot of class over the course of 4 years. You know,
baseball's tough, definitely.
We play on Wednesday, play on Saturday, you're gone here, gone for the weekend, play on Tuesday, you're leaving class early. Now we got to go get the field ready, you're out of class for that. So I missed a lot of class. How much class did you miss? Now, fortunately, lacrosse plays on the weekend, so it feels like it would be easier, but when you're playing at the high Division I level, you are traveling to a good amount of places and a good distance. So how much class did you miss?
It wasn't too bad for us, honestly. Like, we only play 12 games. You know, a lot of other college teams will play 15, 16 games in a season, so they're playing a lot more like weekday games. We pretty much only played weekend games. I think we had like, we usually had like 2 weekday games, which were on like a Wednesday during the year. And like, so, you know, maybe once a year we'd have to miss class Tuesday and Wednesday to go play a midweek game. But like when we were playing on the weekends, typically we would just leave either late Thursday night or early Friday morning if we were playing an away game. And so we'd miss Friday. But, you know, a lot of times juniors and seniors don't have class on Friday anyways, just with the way the class schedules work.
Must be nice.
Yep. It's definitely a nice life. So, we would leave like Friday morning, play Saturday, and then get back late Saturday night or early Sunday morning typically. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely was not as bad. I mean, our baseball team at ND was missing like almost 4 weeks of class on the regular. So, like, it's definitely a lot tougher playing baseball. But for lacrosse, it wasn't too bad because we mostly were just playing Saturday games.
Now, I've asked this before, and Chris Fifes, who's the head coach at UVM, he's come on. I've asked him before, but I'm always just curious of people's answers to this. Could you play a lacrosse game Saturday and Sunday? Like, could you play? Because, and the reason why I ask this is because season starts in February. Yeah. I don't know how the weather is for you in February, but up here, I mean, it's freezing cold. It's snow all over the field. Yeah. It's terrible conditions. So I ask guys, hey, if you're only going to play 15 games in a season, could you start the season in the middle of March but play Saturday and Sunday? Or is physically it too tough? Because I look at like hockey, they play both days on the weekend. Could you play 2 games in a weekend?
I think playing back-to-back days like Saturday, Sunday would definitely be tough. We'll play every once in a while. So like the ACC tournament, typically in the past it's been you play the semifinals on Friday and then play the championship on Sunday.
Yeah.
So you get that one day break in between. And like playing like the lacrosse Final Four, they'll play the semifinal game Saturday and then play the championship game on Monday, Memorial Day. So, like, playing 2 games in 3 days, you'll see a lot of times. And a lot of teams, you know, I think, like, Duke sometimes will schedule a game Friday afternoon and then play another game Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, 2 games in 3 days is very doable. It's definitely takes a little bit of a toll on the body still. But I think just playing back-to-back days would be tough. Because, I mean, after playing a full game on a Saturday, I'll wake up on Sunday and be like, I can't even get out of bed. Like, I don't want to move today.
Did you get more beat up playing hockey or lacrosse? Which one's more physical?
So that's a tough question because I think hockey is probably more physical with the hitting and just like the speed of the game, like with guys skating around on the ice. But you have so much more padding on in hockey. I just feel like I felt like I got more beat up playing lacrosse. Now, granted, that was playing lacrosse at Division I NCAA level as opposed to playing high school hockey.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely part of it. Like in high school, I just think
it's not as physical,
I guess, in high school. And like lacrosse, just, I mean, you're only wearing shoulder pads, elbow pads, gloves, and a helmet.
Yeah.
And so just like, and the shoulder pads are not as big as hockey shoulder pads, and the elbow pads are not as big as hockey elbow pads, and the gloves same way. So it's just like, you know, if you take a slash to the wrist, like a huge defenseman, you're going to be hurting the next day for sure.
Now, why we talk a lot about sports specialization and kids playing one sport versus kids playing multiple sports. And a lot of people who are elite athletes, they will drop out of everything and go play for this travel team and that travel team and this showcase team and this and that and the other. Why did you play three sports in high school? Why was it important to you to keep playing everything as opposed to just focusing on lacrosse?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was just like I loved playing those other sports as well. And like, I didn't feel like I needed to stop playing football and hockey and just focus on lacrosse to get the opportunity to play lacrosse
in college.
Did you
ever fear getting injured in the other sport?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just kind of part of it, I guess. You know, like you play the game because you love to play, and if you get injured, then it happens. But it's like, for me, like I wasn't going to, you know, stop playing high school football or stop playing hockey to like say, okay, maybe then I'll get a better opportunity to play college lacrosse. For me, it was like, if I get the chance to play college lacrosse, then awesome. Like if I don't, then it doesn't work out. But at least, you know, I enjoyed my 4 years playing in other sports in high school. And I think also like just a lot of the coaches at the Division I level like to see kids playing other sports. Like almost every, I bet every other guy on our Notre Dame team played at least one other sport in high school.
You know, Pete, you're from Essex, obviously, and for a long time, lacrosse was concentrated to just, basically, if you weren't from Maryland or Long Island, you weren't playing. Yeah. And now it's expanded a good deal. There's a lot of players from Canada coming. When you were at Notre Dame, did you find that you were the outlier and players were still mostly concentrated from those handful of areas, or was it really spread out on your roster?
No, definitely. It was very spread out on our roster, which I think is also kind of unique, even within the Division I, you know, landscape with different teams. So, like, for us being at Notre Dame and having like a pretty big draw from all over the country, we had guys from everywhere. Like, you know, the three guys I lived with my senior year, I lived with a guy from San Francisco, California, a guy from Detroit, Michigan, and a guy from Atlanta, Georgia. So like we really were spread out all over the place. And you know, we had guys from like Dallas, Texas, guys from Oregon, a bunch of California guys. We actually only had like two guys from Maryland on our entire roster.
You know, the teams still are concentrated mostly on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And outside of University of Denver, who's won a national championship within the last couple of years and is a very good program, you guys are kind of probably the most far western team that has a whole lot of significance at the Division I level. So what's that like, considering every game you go to probably requires some significant travel?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much flying to every game. We'll usually bus to like one, maybe two games a year if we're playing like Ohio State or playing Marquette or, you know, like some of those other teams in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, we're flying to the East Coast, playing Duke, UVA, UNC, in the ACC, playing up in Syracuse. You know, we traveled to Richmond, Virginia this year. So it's definitely just like pretty much flying everywhere for us.
Which ACC opponent do you hate the most? Which one do you call your biggest rival?
I would say Duke. They've had our number too. Like, you know, they beat us this year in the tournament. And just like we just always have battles against those guys, and like, you know, I know a couple guys on the team just from playing with them in the summer and whatever, and they're good dudes. It's just like, you know, that Notre Dame Duke, you know, they beat us back in 2010. They beat us in the national championship, and then again in like 2014 they beat Notre Dame in the national championship. So like that Notre Dame Duke kind of like rivalry has just been there for the last decade or so.
Now, are you a huge lacrosse fan in terms of like, did you watch the national championship, or was it like, we're not playing, I'm done with it? Like, do you just play it, or do you like watching it outside of when you're
playing?
I like
watching it, and especially during the year, like, you know, if we're sitting around on a Friday night and we've got a game on Saturday, we'll just hang out and watch whatever games are on. You know, a lot of teams will play Friday night. I actually did watch a little bit of the national championship this year just because I was hanging out, didn't really have anything else to do. But, I mean, that was like the first time I'd really watched lacrosse after our team lost in the playoffs in my 4 years. Like in the past, I would finish, like we'd lose in whatever the quarterfinals, and I'd go home and I would be like, nah, I don't want to watch lacrosse. I need a break.
What was the moment like when your season ended this year? It ends in the ACC final, loses to Duke. What was that moment like for you? When you walk off the field, is it tears? Is it appreciation of what the last 4 years have been?
Yeah, I mean, it was in the NCAA quarterfinals.
NCAA quarterfinals, right. Yeah. My bad. Sorry.
But, I mean, definitely some tears. Like, it was even tougher because we lost them in overtime, and it was just, like, such a hard-fought battle that game. And, like, I'd say our team left everything out on the field. And so, like, just to, like, give it everything you got for 60-plus minutes and then come up, you know, one play short is pretty tough. And then, like, basically, after they scored that goal, you realize, like, your career's over and weren't really sure what comes next. I knew I had like my job starting. I wasn't sure if I was gonna, you know, end up playing in the PLL or not. So it's just like, and like even if you end up playing in the PLL, it's just so much different than playing, you know, a college sport and playing with those guys. And I think the toughest part was just like you become so close with all the guys on your team, and especially the other guys in my senior class this year. Like there was 12 of us, and I'd say those are like 12 of my best friends in the world, and I'm sure they will be for the next, you know, for the rest of my life.
Did you miss graduation because your season kept going late?
Yeah,
so have this like the cheesy picture where just your team gets together in cap and gown?
Yeah, definitely. So we actually had like a team only graduation ceremony on the Friday before our game down in Hofstra against Duke, which was actually really nice because it was just like the 12 guys on our team graduating, and
you don't have to sit through 4 hours.
You don't have to sit through 4 hours. Exactly. It took like, you know, 40 minutes. We had Mike Golick on the show.
Oh, cool.
at the graduation speaking for us.
Yeah. Somehow Mike Golick Jr. became like ESPN's like go-to lacrosse color guy. Yeah. It's like Paul Carcaterra and Mike Golick Jr. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, he was a big fan. He was friends with a bunch of Notre Dame lacrosse guys. I know when he was at school out there, but
now I screwed up, said you lost in the ACC tournament final, but did you play Duke 2 weekends in a row? Did you play in the ACC tournament final?
So we played Duke in the ACC semifinals.
ACC semifinal.
And we beat them in the semifinals. Okay. And then we lost to Virginia the following weekend in the ACC championship.
Okay. So I was right that you lost the ACC championship, but there was an at-large bid in the tournament. Okay.
And then we got at-large bid. We played Hopkins in the first round.
Okay.
Beat them out at ND. And then we lost to Duke in the quarterfinals.
Okay. I knew there was the parallel where you would play Duke two times within the
span.
Yeah.
I mean, that was our third time playing them that year,
too.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So...
For a sport that you play maybe max 20 games in a season, like that's crazy to play the same team three times.
Yeah, and we played Virginia twice because we played them during the year and in the ACC tournament as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy how it works out. But I guess, like, you know, once you get to the tournament, there's only 16 teams in the field. So, and we play like one of the toughest schedules, if not the toughest schedule in the country. So, like, kind of throughout the year, we're playing all those top teams that end up making the tournament. So, I guess we usually run into the same teams in the tournament.
UVM's gotten a lot better under Coach Fifes. Do you ever pay attention to what UVM's doing just to see how kind of lacrosse in the area is
going?
Yeah,
definitely. I've got a few buddies on the team as well that I like to see, you know, see how they're doing and see how their team's doing. So, you know, and just, like, I'll check the scoreboard, check the scores, and if they're playing, you know, online and there's a stream or whatever, I'll pull it up if I'm just hanging out, not doing much. So it's definitely cool to see how Coach Fifes has taken that program and kind of elevated their level of play, and hopefully that'll continue for lacrosse in the area.
Now, did you grow up going to UVM games? Not even just lacrosse, but did you grow up going to hockey, basketball, etc.? Like, UVM fan?
I went to UVM hockey games. Our family would have, like, you know, season tickets for like half the games or whatever. So we would go sometimes on like Fridays or Saturdays when they were playing. I went to like a handful of UVM lacrosse games. It was definitely a little bit tougher because it was always freezing cold. It seemed like
dreadful.
So it was like, do I really want to go put on like 6 layers of jackets and go stand in the snow and watch lacrosse in March or whatever? But I was definitely like has a little bit of that like kind of fandom towards UVM, I guess.
And what was it like for you playing in Gutterson Fieldhouse? Because you got a chance to play
there. That was really cool playing in the championship. And I think, my senior year we beat SB in like triple overtime or something like that. So that was a really cool experience. And like I remember just playing there, and there was a lot of people there watching the game, which was really cool. And that was probably like the biggest crowd I'd played in front of until kind of getting to college and playing at ND. So, it was awesome.
You know, pro athletes will often say, and we've had them on before, and they'll say this, that as great as playing professionally was, high school sports was actually their favorite time. Because it's the first time, where, you know, it was the last time that it was completely pure. It wasn't a business.
Yeah.
You know, there was no scholarship involved where you felt pressure of anything. When you look, as someone who's played in the NCAA tournament a couple of times, but you've also had state championship games, Gutterson Fieldhouse hockey, Friday Night Lights, high school football. I mean, what are the best memories you have of sports? I mean, where does it rank for you in terms of high school versus college?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think playing at ND and playing in front of some of those crowds was I enjoyed more than playing in high school. I think also because, like, you know, at our high school lacrosse games, we'd get like 50 fans, you know, just like standing along the sideline. So like, it's not even like
mom and
the parents, exactly. And they're like, you know, standing on the sideline. There's no stands; they're just watching. So I mean, not to say there was like anything wrong with playing in high school. And I remember playing high school football games was always an awesome environment. But just like, I don't know, playing like down even this year down at Hofstra when we played Duke in the quarterfinals was an awesome atmosphere. And like, you know, playing some of our home games, we'd always draw like a pretty big crowd, especially for some of our bigger games later in the year when it's warmer. So like just, you know, playing there. I also remember my sophomore year, we played down at Army West Point.
Wow. Cool.
And they draw a ton of fans for their games.
And they're pretty good too. Actually.
Yeah. They've got a pretty solid team. So like that
and
was
Navy is very good. I mean,
Navy's
we know,
good as well. Yeah. So that was awesome playing down there and like playing in front of a bunch of fans. And I had a bunch of family and friends down there because it was pretty close to home. So
you mentioned Golic Jr. being a guy who was around Notre Dame a lot and obviously went to Notre Dame, played football there. Did you ever have the opportunity to meet a famous alumni, someone come and gave you a team speech or someone you met at a campus event that was a famous alumni? Because Notre Dame's got a lot of them. Did you ever get to meet anybody like that? Joe Montana come back and speak at Notre Dame at all?
I did not get the chance to meet Joe Montana, unfortunately. I don't think I really ever had the opportunity to meet any of those. Like,
see, I never
like,
went to the campus functions. Like, I never, whenever like, oh, this speaker is speaking, I just never went. I was like,
if I saw Joe Montana's name pop up, then I probably would have went and stopped by. But I don't recall ever seeing that. And then, you know, just like between practice and traveling for games and watching film and whatever, we were pretty busy just as a team for the most part. So I don't think, you know, I wouldn't say I went to a ton of campus functions.
So outside of family and friends, again, not acceptable here. What are you going to miss most about the area when you eventually move to New York City and start work? And what's the thing you're going to miss most about Vermont?
I think just like the fresh air and the mountains, you know, even like being out at ND for 4 years, it's like the Midwest and it's, you could look for miles and just see nothing but just like flatlands.
Yeah, that's a big change between
major
New York
change.
City and Vermont.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, being able to come home and like, you know, be like driving up the Cirque to go home and just like see the mountains in the background and just like, you know, all the trees and the green grass and everything. That's just not something I'm going to have down in New York. So definitely going to kind of soak that in for the next month and a half.
Are you even taking a car with you to New York City?
No, I'm going to go down. My dad's going to probably drop me off. I'll move into my apartment and then don't even need a car
you
down
probably
there.
Probably got a studio for $4,000 a month or some ridiculous price.
Yeah, exactly.
Brendan, this has been a lot of fun, man. We appreciate you coming in. We're happy that you've been able to get home for a little bit, be home for a month or so. And then, man, the real world starts for you in a couple different ways. Man, professional lacrosse player by weekend and, you know, big bank man by weekday. So, man, we appreciate the time. It's been a lot of fun. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been a lot of fun following your career because whenever we post about you on Facebook, I remember when we put up that you got drafted by the Charlotte Hounds. Yeah. People, I mean, it was one of the most liked things on our Facebook page very that cool. week. So awesome. People, very cool to follow you. So, Brendan, we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you, Brady. I appreciate it, man.